grace. His love has no limits. His grace has no measure. His love is no boundary.
I before we go to prayer, just heard Brother Craig Kelly had another attack. So he's at home recovering, but he's still not quite right yet. And as far as we know, the doctors still haven't been able to figure out why it happens. So they're not here this morning for that reason, so let's pray for them. Jason, do you mind giving this one?
Our Father, we thank you for another Sunday you brought us to. We thank you for those who came to church this morning. And we pray for Brother Ellie to be with him right now as he's recovering from what he's gone through. And we just pray that you would help them, strengthen them, and draw them closer to yourself. And we just pray that you'd help the doctors be able to find out what's going on with them. And you would just help them through this time and give them strength, help them lean on you for strength. And we pray for others who weren't able to be here this morning due to health reasons, not feeling well, or just can't get out anymore like they used to. We pray that you watch over them. We pray that you bless this time this morning, bless the singing and the preaching. And bless our fellowship that will follow afterwards, too, around the supper table. And we just pray that you would give us a good time together and a good reflection on the past year and help us to be better Christians and serve you a little bit better every day. And that next year would be a good year coming up. And we just pray you watch over us. And thank you for everything you've done. Thank you for watching over this church and providing somebody to preach every Sunday that we've met. And we thank you for that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Yes.
I wanted to mention, too, my mom went back in the hospital Sunday night, and she is still in. So continue praying for her. They're having trouble keeping her from building up fluid in her lungs and around her heart.
Okay. I assume that would mean that there's probably still a blocker somewhere, right?
No, they just they're not keeping the fluid out. They're have to regulate medications.
Yeah. All right. Pray about that as well. Okay. Jason already mentioned following the morning service. Hope you'll stick around. Hopefully, we have some good food downstairs that all of us brought. And church provides everything else. Hope you'll enjoy the time and the fellowship we have as brothers and sisters in Christ. And, it's been a good year, but a tough year. You could certainly say that about all the years here since the Lord took our pastor home. But the Lord hasn't changed, and He's still faithful. So that's definitely a blessing. Don't forget, just like this last week, we will not have a Wednesday evening service. Obviously, Wednesdays start the new year, and we want you to spend time with your family, your friends, whatever you choose to do there. So just wanted to make sure you knew about that. This is not for a little bit yet, but coming up on the 26th of January, we'll be having all three services that day. Brother Rodney Myers is going to be coming to speak to us, and he's not interested in a pastoral position. He's just a friend who heard about our need and was wanting to come and help out. He's involved in a missions ministry based out in Lebanon, here in Pennsylvania. So he'll be here coming up on January 26th. I think that's all the announcements I'm aware of right now. We'll sing a couple more songs here. Let's go to number 96. I need oil in my lamp. 96.
Thank you.
Andrea Green will come later, but Barbara's birthday is this week, so we'll sing happy birthday to her. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. God bless you and keep you. Happy birthday to you. All right. Well, we have two trumpeters classes, and both are going to be larger than usual today. That's very good. So they can be dismissed now and head downstairs. All right, this will be the final week that we're in Job chapter 19. We'll be moving on to, I'm guessing, a familiar passage to most of you. It's found in John chapter 1, beginning in verse 11 through 13. I'm guessing a lot of you probably don't know that passage, but we'll be starting on that next Sunday. Job chapter 19, verses 25 to 27. Take just a moment to see if there are any volunteers who would like to say for those three verses. Sam, go right ahead.
Job 19, 25, and 27. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself. And my eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed in vinegar.
All right, good. Anybody else? Okay, we'll say it one time together. Job 19, 25 through 27. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Jim, may I borrow you for a moment? We just got our most recent Gospel Catholic on Friday, literally. Just got our extras. So you are seeing this before anyone else does. I literally just pulled them out of the box. I haven't seen them myself. But you're welcome to as many copies as you can use. While he's passing those out, in a couple of minutes, we're going to take a time where, if you would like to, give a testimony about the year, you're welcome to. Every time the calendar switches from one year to another, I tend to reflect back. I have, ever since a child, looked back on the previous year, and one of the things I would think about was what kind of a year was it? Was it a good year? Was it a tough year? Was it a great year? But I've always thought, was it a year I could have done more? Even before I was saved, was it a year I should have done more? Should I have studied harder? Should I have accomplished more? Should I have practiced more? Things of that nature. But what I'd like to do in a couple of minutes is give you an opportunity to tell from your heart to ours what kind of a year it was, what kind of scriptures may have been encouraging to you. Thank you so much, Jim. They can go back in that box if you don't mind. But you can tell us what kind of year it was for you, what kind of scriptures were encouraging. The year was good for us. It's ended fairly tough. We had a close friend of ours lost her mother. We lost one of the last charter members of our church. Our church is 1 year younger than yours, 42 years, and she died at 95. Had her funeral, a week ago Friday? And another one of our dear members of our church just found out her cancer will not go into remission, barring a miracle, and so it's a matter of time for her. So the tail end of the year was tough, but spiritually speaking, God's been good. One of the verses that we'll see here in Proverbs 3 probably this morning will detail a little bit more about how our year went, but in a minute we're going to find out how your year was from a spiritual perspective. It doesn't need to be long, but you can tell us from a spiritual aspect how it was. One other thing I do want to tell you, in the Gospel Catholic that some of you receive in the mail, is exactly the same as what you just got. The book offer for this edition is Morning and Evening by Charles Spurgeon. It's a devotional. It has a reading from Scripture and some thoughts for both morning and evening of each day. I checked, and it has February 29th. This is going to be a leap year, so there'll be a February 29th. I was able to get an excellent deal on these. Normally, they're $20. If you would like one, you're welcome to it. If you have the ability to donate, $15 would help the Conversion Center, but don't feel obligated if you don't have it. You're welcome to one. I brought five with me today, and if need be, give me your address, and I'll happily mail them to you. It's simply done on a donation basis, but the book offer that you'll get in the mail will say $20, but the center doesn't have to pay for shipping because it got in my car for free. So if you have any interest in those, let me know. It's not leather-bound, but it's very well-constructed, looks leather-bound. It's been a help to a lot of people. Morning and Evening by Charles Spurgeon. So if you have interest in that, I have five with me. I can always send more if you like. All right, enough from me. How was your year? Any kind of a memory, any kind of a scripture that you'd like to share with us as we close the door on 2019 and head towards 2020? Anybody have something they'd like to share? Yes, Barb.
Well, the scripture that was memorable to me is in Ezekiel 34, 26. And it says, "And I will make them, and I will make them and the places round my hill a blessing. And I will cause the showers of blessing to come down in season. And there will be showers of blessing." And I look for those people that I can bless. And on the bus, you know, in my church, I'm always blessing those people because that comes from God.
And you have to look for it. If we're not careful, we find ourselves withdrawn from those around us or missing opportunities to be a blessing to others. Look for those opportunities. Excellent. Thank you, Barb. Anybody else? Yes, Mr. Cobal.
We've seen men turn their lives over to the Lord up at our ministry up at the prison up in Carbon County, and their lives have changed. That has been a blessing.
Absolutely.
And how many other men have been affected by a lot of the papers that we hand out, that Chris puts together, hands out to them, because God keeps the scorecard. We don't,
right.
We don't know what's going to happen, but
right.
We feel very blessed to have that opportunity to be able to minister to these men. A lot of men don't even know anything about the Bible. A lot are Catholics.
Right.
And know even less about the Bible.
Sure.
But you know something. And they're hearing things they've never heard before out of God's Word, and didn't know that was there. So we are blessed. We are blessed because the Lord has blessed us.
Sure. Sure. God does keep the scorecard. You don't know what the end results are. It's nice when he lets you see a little bit of the fruit.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't, but it's required of a steward that he be found faithful. So be faithful, let him keep track of it, and I think that there will be, I suspect in heaven we're going to find out that there were some things that we thought we had done well, not so much, but there are some things that God blessed we didn't know about until we get to heaven. I suspect we're going to have a lot of surprises when we get to heaven. Anybody else? Nope? Okay. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, when I was here 2 weeks ago, we finished up chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 3 has two of the more famous verses of the Bible. And we're not going to get to them today. We're only going to get through verses 1 through 4. But I want to read Proverbs chapter 3. I'll read a chunk of scripture. We'll go back verse by verse and touch on it in a timely manner. The Bible says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." Proverbs is, as we've mentioned times past, it's a book that has many wise sayings that can be plucked out of context and can be used. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 are often done for such a time as that. They're pulled out and those verses are memorized. It's one of those books where you can pull it out of context and it has an application, but when you read through the totality of Proverbs, it gives you more in depth. And we talked about that last time I was here, how scripture can have more than one interpretation and they can both be true. Not conflicting, but it can be multi-layered, more levels to it than just what appears at the first. What we'll do is we'll go back verse by verse and look at it. Verse number 1, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." In chapter 1, the reader, the son, was told to hear the instruction of the father and to not forsake the law of the mother. Now, God is gender specific. In this year, in this era of trying to cloud the lines between what God created male and female, he creates mothers, fathers, they're distinct. They're distinct. God created it that way so that the father has certain responsibilities and the mother has certain responsibilities, and when done hand in hand, it produces a product that God promises. God's specific. He created that way. Let's not mess with it. But he told his son not to forget the law. Now, he told them also to keep the commandments. Notice that this is not a suggestion. This isn't advice. This isn't just a kind thought. There have been times I've tried to help someone, and I may put a thought in their mind. I may gently hint at something. I may suggest. I may advise. But there are some people I flat out command. My children. I don't give them suggestions or kind thoughts. Occasionally they may get advice in some aspect. I remember for one particular instance, Stephen wanted to buy his first weed whacker. And he was looking at two different weed whackers. If you know anything about them, he was considering a curved shaft, which would have been easier for him at the time, or a straight shaft, which would have been a little harder, but they last a lot longer and they're much easier the taller you get. And I advised him, get the straight shaft because it'll last longer and it'll be easier for you the taller you get. That was advice. If he'd have bought a curved shaft, I wouldn't have stopped him, but I would have let him understand the situation later that he made the wrong choice. Fortunately for him, he bought the straight shaft. But here we find in Scripture that these are commandments. Solomon's not saying here, it's just a kind word from me. These are commandments. Our sin nature does not like to be told what to do. Our rebellious nature is when someone tells us not to do something, we may not have wanted to do it in the first place, but our first instinct is, now I want to do it. People love to break the speed limit for no other reason than to break the speed limit. I love driving through towns where they have the lights timed in such a way that if you drive the speed limit, you don't stop. In Hagerstown, you can drive on Route 40 the whole way through, and if you're about one or two over the speed limit, you don't have to stop. And invariably, I'll go through town and someone flies by me, speed limit's 25, flies by me somewhere at 40, 45. Guess what? They're stopped at the next light. I get to go past them. They catch me, they pass me, they hurry on to the next light. Just do what you're supposed to do, and you'll be fine. Then they have these cool speed cameras that send them a special gift every so often. But our flesh nature doesn't like that. Solomon tells his son not to forget my law. Laws are to be kept. The law of God is to be kept. The second thing that we see here is to let thine heart keep my commandments. Now, 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 3 says this, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." Your relationship with the authority affects how you view their commandments. Now follow me for a second. I'll say this delicately. I could say it because Rachel's here. Our relationship affects how she views my instructions to her. If she were a rebellious wife, it wouldn't matter what instructions I gave her, she would look on them with disdain. You ever met a rebellious spouse or a rebellious child? It doesn't matter what the instructions are, they rebel against the commandments because they rebel against the person giving the commandments. That's what we find scripturally. People that say the commandments of the scripture are grievous, they're hard to maintain, they're hard to do, don't have a right relationship with God. If you have a right relationship with God, if you have a love that comes from the inside for God and the things of God, his commandments, like 1 John said, are not grievous. Because there's that love, there's that respect, there's that fear of God that comes. One thing I find interesting in this verse here in Proverbs chapter 3, it says, "Let thine heart keep my commandments." Now, the heart is inward. Someone said, and I wish I could remember who it was to give proper credit, religion affects the outside first. And that's the way it is. If you have religion, it affects what you do on the outside first. And they hope it works its way inward. But true Christianity, a true salvation, works from the inside out. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but think with me for a minute. Actually, I will ask you a question. How many in here are first generation Christians? What I mean by that is you were not raised in a Christian home, but you were saved after or as a child, but your parents were not Christians. How many of you are first generation Christians? Can you raise your hand? Okay. Now, when you got saved, there were things in your life that you were used to doing, that you grew up with, that you were accustomed to, but after you got saved, the Holy Spirit inside of you told you, that's not right. We don't do things that way. And what started on the inside eventually affected what happened on the outside. I've heard testimonies of people, one of my dearest friends, Dr. Ziner, testimony is like this, that he was saved from a Catholic home and he was accustomed to certain things. And one of the things was profanity. And he found himself one time, he cursed after he got saved, and he said something just smote his heart. He'd been used to cursing all his life. It was just second nature. Every third word or whatever the case may be. You've met people like that. And the first time he swore after, he thought, wait a minute, something's wrong. And he said it just humbled him. Why? He wasn't raised that way. He wasn't accustomed to that. But the keeping of the commandments starts in the heart. That's why in 1 Samuel it talks about man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. What's in the heart will find its way out, right? There are people who say, well, you don't know my heart. No, but if it hasn't affected your outside in all these decades, I have a good idea what's going on inside there, right? It will affect by their fruits, you shall know them. Keep the commandments with your heart, and it'll affect the rest. A lot of people have a skin-deep religion. They have a Sunday morning or a Sunday persona and live like the world the rest of the week. That's not what Solomon's telling his son here. Keep the commandments with your heart, because then it'll affect everything else. One of the neat things as a speaker or a preacher is sometimes people's mask slips. And I'll say something and I can instantly tell I hit a sore spot or something they disagree with. Why? Because they may have a nice facade that they maintain, but that mask will slip for just a second. And I could tell by the expression that they don't agree or they don't like me for that. Keep it with your heart. Verse number 2. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. The promise is that if you don't forget the law of the Lord, and if you keep his commandments in your heart, your life will be affected. That's a promise from God. God makes conditional promises. We've talked about this. This is nothing new to you. But if you keep verse number 1, verse number 2, length of days, long life, and peace shall be added to thee. People who seek conflict, people who constantly look for controversy, people who are constantly seeking some kind of argument or dispute should go back to verse number 1. They're not keeping the law, they're forgetting the law of God, and they're not keeping the commandments in their heart because they don't have that peace. Speaks of long life too. The world has an expression, only the good die young. It's not scriptural. There are exceptions. I understand that. David Brainerd, God-given ability, God-blessed man, died at a very young age. And there are examples of that. But predominantly, those who die young die because of preventable situations. I looked it up this week, and the leading causes of death between the ages 20 and 29, the top three reasons are all easily preventable. The top leading source of death for those between 20 and 29 from the Population Reference Bureau are accidents that were preventable. In other words, auto accidents, things like that, that could have easily been prevented if they'd obeyed, discretion shall preserve thee, like we saw in chapter 2. The second leading cause of death is homicide. Now I'm going to touch on that here in a second. Third leading cause of death is suicide. Homicide, over 80% of homicide victims knew their murderer, knew the one who killed them, and most often it has something to do that's gang-related, drug-related, or a combination thereof. The random drive-by shootings do occur, but the vast majority of homicides occur because of some sinful thing that has happened somewhere between the two parties. I've been paying close attention to the homicides in our area and the circumstances involving it. We had a tragic one happen not far from our house. It was a drug deal gone bad. Happened in a very rural area at a barn. And that raised a lot of eyes. Why were these people shot? Turns out people from the inner city came out to make a drug deal, went bad, boom, boom, you have homicide. But the Bible tells us that if you keep his law, if you don't forget it, you keep the commandments, long days shall be added to you. Reminds me of Ephesians chapter 6. The Bible says in Ephesians 6 verses 1 through 3, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. I've told you this before. 8 guys that I played sports with, I played high school sports in a Christian school conference, 8 of them have passed away. As far as I know, only 2 of them died through no fault of their own. Each one of them, other than that, was doing something they knew better. And they ended up dying as a result. Peace, long days will be added to you if you keep the commandments of the Lord. Verse number 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. This reminds me of Micah chapter 6 and verse number 8. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. The Bible says we're not to forsake mercy and truth. God is a just God. but God is a God of mercy. And those two attributes of God don't contradict themselves. God is a just God. There must be punishment for sin. If he didn't have mercy, we'd have each been sent to hell the first time we sinned. Human population would never have made it to adulthood, would we have? No. But God is a God of mercy. Is there punishment for sin? Absolutely. He allowed his son, he sent his son to die for our punishment. Many, billions, reject that, and they will eventually see God's justice. But the fact that they're allowed to walk to face the planet after they sin is a sign that God is merciful. Mercy and truth. We find the truth is also here in verse number 3. We're not to forsake truth. There are temptations sometimes to forget what is true. It may not be convenient. It may make our lives difficult. But truth stands. Don't forsake truth. No matter who it applies to. I can't tell you how many times I've traveled and spoken in different churches, and people have said that they had great respect for a believer or a saint of God or a pastor or a preacher, but when the truth that the pastor preached was affecting themselves or their nieces and nephews or their loved ones or someone, they would abandon what they had taught and preached for so many years. I know a pastor in our home area who used to stand strong against a particular sin until his daughter was involved in it. And within no time, it was okay. Why had he stood against it for 30 some years? Because it was the right thing to do. Let's stand for what's truth. Let's not forsake truth. Second half of that verse, bind them about thy neck. Now the Jewish people had things called phylacteries. Phylacteries were portions of scripture that they would wrap in bands around their forearm and also would wear in a band around their head. And it would have a box with scripture being held inside that would often rest on the forehead, often where a man would wear a headlamp. If he's working in a close or a dark area, that's about where it would be. When we went to the Wailing Wall twice last year, you could see a lot of men wearing phylacteries. I don't know, were they wearing them on the ladies' side? Okay. They split it off. The left side is where the men go, and the right side is where the ladies go. But it's the Wailing Wall facing up towards the Temple Mount. And so they would keep portions of scripture up on their forehead or on their forearm. There's also a secondary culture that they have. It's called the mezuzah. And I was doing some research on it this week and read an article. And I want to share three paragraphs, if I can, briefly from it. The mezuzah. The Bible twice enjoins Jews in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 9 and chapter 11 and verse 20. You can look at those on your own. To write the words of God upon the doorposts of your house and on your gates. The Hebrew word for doorpost, mezuzah, has come to designate the object itself. The mezuzah, or the plural is mezuzot. A parchment rectangle inscribed with the relevant biblical passages, the two that I mentioned to you. Appearing on its reverse side is the word Shaddai, one of the words for God, one of the names of God. El Shaddai is one of the names of God. And an acronym, Protector of the Doors of Israel. Now they have this little little section that's right up on the right-hand side of the door frame as you leave your room. In fact, our first hotel that we stayed at had that on every doorpost except the bathroom. Now that follows the tradition. This parchment is rolled tightly and mounted diagonally on the right-hand doorpost of all rooms except for bathrooms. To protect the parchment, it is placed in a slot engraved in the doorpost, which is covered with glass, or in a case which may be of simple plastic. Examples of doorpost slots can be observed in old Jewish neighborhoods in Israel, such as the old cities of Jerusalem and Hebron. Jews have also been known to wear mezuzot around their necks. Follows Proverbs chapter 3, doesn't it? Not only do they wear them around their necks, the earliest material evidence is a mezuzah parchment found at Qumran, where a Jewish sect lived in the first century BCE. BCE stands for Before Common Era. Historians are trying to get rid of before Christ, BC. So now they're using BCE. Subtle, but we know what they're trying to do. Today, mezuzot can be found on most doorposts in Israel. Among observant Jews, various beliefs about the protective properties of mezuzah have developed. Some habitually touch it as they pass it and kiss their fingers. Mezuzot are checked twice every 7 years for wear and tear, and many Jews inspect or replace their mezuzot when afflicted with personal or collective woe. That passage that I mentioned to you in Deuteronomy speaks of having the scriptures in front of your eyes when you wake up, when you lay down, to be a conversation that you talk about with those that you see, to be dwelt on and meditated upon during the day. The scriptures are to be such an integral part of our life that we're thinking about them all of the time. That's what Proverbs 3:3 is speaking of. Last verse. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. That word so, that follows a condition, the condition from verses 1 through 3. People like the second half of the promises of God. Finding favor and understanding with God and man. But are we willing to do what's required of us? Grew up in a pastor's home all my life. And one of the things that irked me or aggravated me the most was how many parents would tell us and tell my parents, well, of course the Reno kids are smart. They were born Renos. Of course they're well-behaved. They're Renos. What they were intimating was, by birth, you're smart and well-behaved when you're a Reno. Well, I broke that mold. What they didn't want to admit, and many of them refused to believe, was the blood, sweat, and tears, and hours of prayer and effort my parents put into my siblings so that they got a good education, and the discipline that they enforced with my siblings is what brought a result. They refused to admit that God's promises about rearing children would produce results like God promises. Several weeks ago, went to a Baltimore Ravens game. When we went into the stadium, I noticed a whole bunch of people standing outside one of the entrances, and I didn't know what was going on. I'd never been to a game. So I'm just standing there with everyone else wondering, what are we looking for? Turns out the parking lot across the lane was for the players and the coaches, and if you just stood still, they'd walk right in past you. Now, when you watch a sporting event, you tend to forget what size these players are. And honestly, most of them are not huge. Most of them are average height. And while they're strong, they're not gargantuan like basketball players. Most of your basketball players are, the average height used to be 6'7". I don't know what it is now. It's probably higher. But most of your football players are not a whole lot larger in size than me. Can you imagine what would have happened if when they were walking by, I'd say, you know what? It's because of luck that you are a professional football player. They said, no. What we don't see is we don't see the hours of training, the strict diet, the strict sleep schedule, the hours spent watching film, the training, the massages, the things that they do on a yearly basis to get their bodies in the prime condition to try to compete at a high level. Because you know what? There are 1,000 guys in college and high school coming for each one of their jobs. It would be foolish for us to say, hey, you're just lucky. People look at the promises of God in verse number 4 and say, finding favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man, that's just luck. No. You got to go back to the first verses. Not forsaking the law, keeping the commandments with your heart, keeping the scriptures bound about your neck, remembering mercy and truth. If we're going to have verse number 4, you can't get to verse number 4 without going through verses 1, 2, and 3. We need to have that peace in our life. We need to have that promises that we're keeping the law and the commandments in our heart. And only you get through there, do you get verse number 4. If we're going to want the good understanding, if we're going to want the favor of God and man, the Bible tells us that when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. I confess there are not a lot of times in my life, even my enemies are at peace with me. But you know what? That's a shortcoming, that's a shortfall on Mark Reno. Not on Scripture, because God's promises are true. We just need to make sure that we line ourselves up to Scripture. Someone said one time that some particular message or Scripture, like a cat, rubbed them the wrong way. And a preacher said, maybe you just need to turn around and it'll rub you the right way. If we make our ways to please the Lord, then we'll have favor and good understanding with God and with man. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Thank you for these dear folks. Bless the morning service as it quickly approaches. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.